All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I wanted to carry over my good friend Pastor Greg Lewis for one more segment because I thought it would be critically important. If we didn't really talk about what happens if somebody who wanted to vote, what can prevent somebody from voting, Pastor Lewis? If I'm 18 years old, number one, you have to be 18 years old, right?
Yeah, you have to register.
Yeah, and register. And so if I'm 18 years old, what can prevent me from voting?
If you registered, nothing except for a felony on paper, a felony where you still are having to visit with your parole or probation officer. If you're still on paper, then you can't vote. But that's changing all over the country also. And here's the other thing. Just because you're in jail and you haven't been convicted, you can still vote. You know, the conviction has not happened yet. You can still vote. So people in jail have the right to vote, but they don't get the opportunities.
Wow, so they don't get the opportunities because they're in custody.
Right.
And there's no way they're going to bring the ballots into the jails.
Yeah, they need to have a polling place at the House of Correction.
Yeah.
I mean,
because there are not enough people out there.
Right. And they've not been convicted. They're staying there until their trial.
Is that something you guys have been pushing?
Yeah, that's what we've been working on. You know, that's a lot of that is... I have to give credit to Micah,
yeah,
that really is working on the right of those folks to you know, provide their input into the process, and that's something that really has been, you know, it's been a question for years, man. So now, you know, hopefully. It's getting better, but who knows?
So MICA stands for Milwaukee Inner City Churches Allied for Hope.
Yeah.
And they've been around a long time, and they've been at the forefront of these battles. But what do you say then, Pastor Lewis? I mean, how are you guys going about reaching the young people? Because really, to me, that's that group.
Yeah.
And I know it's hard.
Yeah, you know. And you know, we have to try to find young folks to reach young folks.
Yes.
And, you know, and then we have to keep telling them the truth, Brother Earl. We got to keep telling them they have power. And that's a hard, you know.
It's a hard sell, man.
It really is, because of what we've been through in these communities for so long. You know, and I always have to go back to Dr. Levine's...
Mark Levine, yeah.
His research. Man, if you have not read Dr. Levine's research, you need to, because it goes in depth of how things are skewed and not fair in communities of color, especially 53206.
Well, yeah, right.
You know, for instance, just one thing that really popped out at me, Brother Earl, was that, you know, a white male with a high school education was getting the same kind of pay a master's degree
black
male. Yeah. You know, I'm like, why is that? So things really aren't fair as young folks see, Brother Earl. And they ain't putting up with that, man. They really aren't. And it just it gets right to the core of why they don't want to be involved in it, because everything is not fair, is not truthful. People are lying to them. They're getting treated bad, those kind of things. But see, our parents went through all of that, man, and we went through it too. And we somehow, some of us, handled it so that we could advance, because this is not checkers, it's chess. You have to keep making those steps towards doing that. But these young folks are saying, why should I have to go through all that when it should be right now?
Pastor Lewis, here's a statistic that I find almost unbelievable. You guys had a company that did a survey.
Yeah.
25,000 people during the mayoral election.
Right.
And you got the news that 92% of people did not know they had the ability to go out and vote for a new mayor?
On April 6th, yeah.
Of this year?
Yeah.
In our community.
And we had four black candidates, man.
In our community.
In our community.
92%?
92%, man. That was not made up.
So let me ask you how that could possibly be.
Wow.
Because it's only, what, it's 4 years for Trump. It's 10 years from the election of President Barack Obama.
Yes.
Where blacks turned out in record numbers.
Yeah.
What happened in 10 years?
Well, you know, a couple of things. First of all, you know, a lot of folks say that, you know, President
Obama. And I do
Obama,
know that was a black president. And
they
the first
say he
thing.
Didn't do much for us. You know, that's the one thing that the information. But he did a lot. It's just people didn't know what he was doing.
I know, but I'm saying how did we lose that larger percentage of people?
I was saying because people were disappointed in
the advancements
during his presidency.
And,
They weren't as, you know, outstanding as people.
Well, because people somehow expected him to be the black president.
Right.
And he would change things for our community.
Right.
And when the realization came that that could never happen, people didn't.
But you know, Brother Earl, he did do a lot of things for the community. It just wasn't
that
something
that they couldn't see.
Right. It just wasn't something that he could really just cheerlead about because he had other folks, all of us, that he had to really cater to the needs of the American people. And he felt like, you know, if he put too much interest into his own folks, that it would damage anything that he could accomplish during his presidency.
Well, he was in a no-win situation. Well, how do you, Pastor Lewis, from that perspective, and I get it, people who wanted and thought there would be these major changes in their lives, it didn't occur to the degree that they had thought. And yet now the fact that they need to vote even more now, than they did then, and yet, I mean, that number, man, is terrifying.
Man, I'm going back to what I said before, you know, we overthink things, man. We really don't think we have power. I mean, that's the honest to God truth. And that is so.
Well, you out on the street, you talking with the people.
Yeah, you know, we think we don't have power. You know, we think that our vote doesn't matter. That's what we really believe. So we have to, you know, help folks understand, look here, man, things have changed. Things are different now. Wisconsin is no longer a lily white state. You know, you have a voice. And now you have to, so what we're trying to do, so that's why we just don't do voting, like during voting season, Brother Earl. We do it year round because we work on other things. First of all, we worked on housing. We worked on getting these shots in our community because nobody was taking shots.
Right.
And, you know, we're starting to work on, you know, the violence in our community, those kind of questions to help to at least have conversations about why we're doing what we're doing in our communities is important. So that education for me is important because now we have a community that is really, I don't want to say sick because it's not everybody, but I want to say that, you know, there's a lot of trauma.
Damaged.
Damaged.
It's severely damaged.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I want to say.
Yeah.
It's been damaged, and now we have to try to, you know, unravel what has happened so that we can understand why we're doing the things we're doing.
I tell people who constantly say, well, Earl, your community, look at what you guys are doing, look at this, and I say to them, this has been by design, because you and I, Greg, lived in a time when in our lifetimes where we had the safest communities in the neighborhood.
53206, man.
53206.
That's where I grew up.
This is what I grew up in, 53206.
Right.
But I always tell and say to people when they talk about it being the worst zip code in the entire nation, and they want to harp on that, I always say, I think they missed the boat and they're going about it the wrong way, because we grew up in 53206 when it was one of the safest
right.
neighborhoods and communities.
Right.
The question shouldn't be about how bad it is. The question should be about how it wound up from being one of the better places to one of the worst.
Exactly.
Because at the root of all of these things is a sinister plot and plan
right.
that has worked towards destroying neighborhoods and communities and middle class people
yes.
in this country. And at the root of all of it is, so how do you then overcome that? Middle class people have to understand, be they black or white, Democrat or Republican, the target is on you.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
I mean, that we've got more in common.
I was just going to say that. We got yeah. more in common than we have differences.
Yeah. And so at the root of all of these things is that people understanding we've got these things in common and we've got to fight the common enemy.
Right.
And we know who that is. It's inside of our border.
You know it.
Right?
Yes, sir.
It's inside of our border, and it's people who really don't care about the average person.
They really don't.
You know.
So, hey, listen, I wanted to just say, on September 24th, man, we're going to have a big brunch with faith leaders, you know, helping to get out to vote at MATC at 11 o'clock. You're invited, man. You get off at 11. Come on down there. Hey, at 11 o'clock at MATC on September 24th, we're going to have about 150 faith leaders gathering together to talk about how we go into our communities.
We'll work on all that. We'll give you
yes,
time to come on and talk about it.
All right.
We got to go. Up next is my good friend Robert Miranda from Flack. That's Pastor Greg Lewis. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789 is the number. You tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back. At 844-967-2789. My next guest is Robert Miranda of Flack, and you could say out of the skillet and into the fire. How you doing there, brother?
I'm doing well, Brother Errol. How are you?
It's good to have you in the studio, man.
Well, it's good to be in the studio. This is,
yeah.
This is the first time I'm in this studio. This is really nice digs, man.
Yeah, man. It's good, man. It's good to have you here, but it's more importantly good to have you when we're talking about what I think, man, is one of the most under-discussed situations in this country, even though at Labor Fest, President of the United States mm-hmm. talked about the water problem in Milwaukee. Did you
yeah,
know that?
Yeah.
He talked about the leaded water crisis in the city of Milwaukee.
He has to.
I know, but you say that, man, tongue in cheek. You know how long you've been fighting this battle, man.
Yeah, well, you know, in 2015, well, 2015, prior to 2015, nobody was talking about
right.
lead and water or the pipes. None of that talk.
So let's do this, because people may not know, but you represent FLAC, Freshwater for Life, a coalition of people like you from all over the country.
All over Milwaukee.
All over Milwaukee.
The national campaign is called the National Campaign for Lead Free Water, and that's based out of D.C.
And for people who are listening who may not know, and many people are listening from these rural areas, and they don't realize that there's lead in the water. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about what you mean by lead in the water for people who may not know and they're hearing this for the first time.
Sure. Well, we've been addressing this issue of lead in the water, particularly as it relates to the water going and running through the taps of homes. And this water is flowing through these lead pipes. And generally, we're not talking about water mains. Water mains are not made of lead. They're basically cast iron and stuff. The pipes that we're talking about is the service lines, the laterals, the lines
which that bring the water into the home.
Exactly. They connect from the main to the inside of the house to the water meter. And those are what they call lead service lines, laterals. And those lines are mostly made of lead. And so, and a lot of those lines have been put in place back in the 1880s, 1870s, and they have been in place all this time. And back in 2000, there was an incident in D.C. where lead poisoning occurred. And they experienced a 200% infant mortality rate. They couldn't figure out why all of a sudden that happened. They figured it out. They figured out that the chemistry of the water changed, which caused the corrosion of the lead pipes to happen faster. The lead seeped into the pipes immediately. Fast forward, we had Flint.
Right.
Flint happened. That's when I decided, okay.
The first national exposure, I
exactly.
guess.
And that's when I, around 2014-2015, Alderman Joe Davis ran for mayor. He had this issue as his platform. I was working on his campaign, looked into it, got the research done, and proceeded forward with addressing this matter in Milwaukee. And we've been addressing this matter from 2015 ever since.
Now, why it's something that's critically important for people to know, it's not just Milwaukee.
Right. It's all over the state of Wisconsin. There are over 160,000 lead pipes in service in the state of Wisconsin. Nationally, there are about 10 to 12 million lead pipes.
And so for people who may not know, so they say, okay, so you got lead pipes. What's the issue? Water flows through a pipe. Why is that an issue for me to be concerned about?
Well, it's an issue because it affects your health. People will say, well, I've had lead pipes all my life. I've been drinking from lead pipes all my life, and nothing's going on with me. You know, yeah. They think just because they can add two and two, or they think just because they can read a sentence here and there that their head is fine. You know, nothing's wrong with them. But that is a false assumption. Dr. Bruce Lamphere, who is a world-renowned expert on the issue of lead in health, has shown in many studies that your health is affected by lead after a period of time, similar to what is now happening over at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina,
right.
with the Camp Lejeune water, right?
Yes.
So people were drinking that water in the 1980s, 1950s, 1960s, and now today they're finding that they are getting cancer. It took almost 40, 50 years for that to affect their health. Well, lead does the same thing. Lead basically starts affecting your cardiovascular, starts affecting your joints, memory, all that after a period of time.
All right, listen, we've got to go to a break. In the studio, my good friend Robert Miranda of FLAC, Fresh Water for Life. We're talking about lead in the pipes, which eventually, if the lead is in the pipes and it's flaking and it gets in your system, so I don't think your body processes lead too well. It doesn't
Leave it in the toilet, does it?
No, lead stays in your body, and it hibernates in your bones and your soft tissue.
All right. All right. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. My guest is Robert Miranda of FLAC. You know, Robert, before we get into all of the different things about what's happening in the city of Milwaukee with the lead and water and all of those things, man, over and over and over in this country, we just keep looking at issues with water. Look at Jackson, Mississippi, man.
Yep.
This is America, man, right?
Yep.
This is the most powerful nation on earth.
The richest nation.
That spends almost $1 trillion a year on military every year.
Mm-hmm.
And yet inside of our own cities, and we can't get the water right, and then we talk about spending money all over the world to make sure that the water is right for people, but we can't get it right at home.
Right. No, we've neglected the infrastructure of water in America to the point where the chickens are coming home to roost now, and we're starting to see how damaging this can be to the health of many American citizens.
But how could a nation as powerful as ours not understand that without clean water, there is no life?
Well, I mean, keep the people ignorant. Don't let them know that this is happening. Don't feed them information. The powers that be know what's happening. They know what's going on. But they're not going to feed that information. The people, we the people are the ones who have to get that information and act on that information and act on factual information, research, peer-reviewed research information, solid information, so that we can advance the agenda to remedy or correct or resolve the issue that impacts our community.
So let's talk about the pipes, leaded pipes, and again, there are people who are here who never heard the conversation. The pipes flake, the lead water flakes after all these years.
What happens is in when the water is being serviced through lead pipes, there are two forms of lead poisoning that occurs. There's one form that they call soluble lead, and that's the kind of lead that basically leaches and floats in the water and accumulates when the water's just stagnant there,
right,
waiting to be used, and then you got to flush it and rinse that out. The other method of lead poisoning is what they call particulate lead, and that's when the tiny bits of lead particles are falling into the water when the water is moving about,
right,
causing the kind of energy that is needed in order for what is loose around the interior walls of the lead pipe, those flakes to loosen up and then go into the water system.
So clearly a lot of this stuff is unseen to the eye.
Correct. It's not taste. You can't taste it. Can't smell it. You can't see it. You know, as far as people are concerned, they get a nice tap water, look at that nice clean glass. They smell it. No funky smell coming out. You know, they taste it. Everything's good. They drink it. Lead is undetectable.
And so now we do know the impact of what lead does to children, delayed
behavioral problems.
It certainly interferes with the development,
correct,
of these children physically as well as mentally.
Right.
A major issue with that, but those are children. What about adults?
With adults, what occurs is that as you are drinking this water, unknowingly ingesting the lead into your system, over time, what happens is with adults, they can be impacted with cardiovascular issues. They can be impacted with memory losses. Things that are associated with old age are basically probably
visible
also induced with lead poisoning in your body. The only way you could find out if you are being impacted by lead is to do a blood lead test of yourself. Go to your doctor and ask your doctor to give you a blood a lead blood test to see if there are any micrograms a deciliter of blood lead blood in you. See how much it is. The CDC says you shouldn't have more than 3.5 micrograms per deciliter. That's too high still, in my opinion, but 3.5. Anything above 3.5, you're basically causing a lot of damage to your body.
So it's safe to say this is not a Democrat or a Republican issue.
It's American
issue. It's not a black or white issue.
This is totally red, white, and blue American issue. This is about America's health. This is about America's health being able to produce a workforce that can continue to get America and Wisconsin to compete economically, that will provide health, that will reduce the need to continue to spend so much money on healthcare needs. I mean, if we would deal with the infrastructure of water the way we need to deal with it, we would see eventually the reduction of dollars needed in order to pay for healthcare services, in order to pay for educational specialty services, in order to pay for more advanced criminal services, criminal fighting services. In my opinion, it's just common sense to deal with this.
So my guess is Robert Miranda of Fresh Water for Life. So Robert, let's talk about, man, you have been on this battlefield. I remember when you first started dealing with this and talking about it, and you were being made mockery of by our elected officials in the city of Milwaukee, the then mayor and others, who were clearly making you out to be a lunatic.
Yeah, they were.
The news media.
What was that show? Branded.
and you kept battling.
I kept battling because I knew the truth. I, you know, when you sit at a meeting with the founder and dean of the Freshwater School here in Milwaukee, and he looks you in the eye and he says to you, you know, the lead poisoning isn't really about lead paint, soil, and dust. It's really about the water. And you go, okay, and why isn't that being discussed? He says, because they purposely don't collect the data on it. You tend to say, okay, now we know what's happening, and you fight harder because the truth was told to you by an expert and somebody who knows what's going on.
You know, in the city of Milwaukee, it became a really huge issue at the time. The then health commissioner, Bevin Baker, friend of yours and mine, was thrown under the bus when all of this hit the fan.
Yep.
And the mayor was under duress. The media itself, who basically had poo-pooed this, and it hit the fan.
Yeah, because they've been, you know, you can. I don't think that the mayor, the administration,
then mayor,
confronted a group like ours. You know, they confronted people. But sometimes these people just be happy to get a couple
nickels and dimes.
Yeah, and then they go away, you know, or be invited to some kind of social where they can hobnob and and everybody's happy, you know.
Right.
But they thought they could do that with us, and we would say that has nothing to do with the issue we're fighting here. We are not looking to enrich ourselves. We're not looking to establish a nonprofit to get money brought in. We're not looking for that. We're looking to remove this toxin that it's harming our children and destroying families in this community. And if you don't get that, then you obviously don't care about right. our children and the families of this community.
You know, Robert, so after all of this and the national recognition and finally they were talking about Milwaukee along the lines of Flint, Michigan. I finally, after mm-hmm. all of that time, I wanna as we get ready to go to another break in a few minutes, I wanna then bring us up to where we are and some of the changes that are starting to see some progress. Progress is slow in this.
It's always
in this
slow.
Arena.
It's always slow. No matter what arena, progress yeah. is always slow. But the key to getting there is to continue to fight. You just can't stop.
You know, so here we are, and a new mayor, mm-hmm. a new regime. You guys are still there. Mm-hmm. You got to sit down with the new mayor.
Well, I sat down with the chief of staff, the mayor's
the chief of staff.
Staff. Yep. The new chief of staff. Yeah.
And I saw you guys, and I said, wow. You know, still, you didn't change the conversation. Mm-hmm. It's still the same thing.
Still the same focus. Yep.
So let's talk about some of the successful cities, mm-hmm. you know, and areas that have addressed it. This is not just not a Wisconsin issue, right?
No, it's a nationwide issue, and we've seen movements far greater than what we're experiencing in Milwaukee. However, those experiences or those movements in other cities are a learning lesson for us, because while they are progressively moving forward in removing the laterals, there are areas that we as Milwaukee activists need to bring up to the city administration and to the leadership of city government. And one of the areas of focus that we were discussing with city leaders a couple of weeks ago was that this can't be just about removing the lead lateral. The line that's connecting from the main to the inside of the house. We have to also look at what the failures of other cities like Madison and others, where they just removed the line, but they did not deal with the internal lead plumbing of the house. So those issues have to be incorporated in the discussion of removing lead pipes. And those issues have to be brought up in a way where we can get the landlords or homeowners to buy into investing in removing those lines
so, Robert,
in their house.
Now what you're asking for is more money.
No, well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. What we're trying to do, and this is the reason why I'm asking the city to move to establish a task force. What I'm asking is for the city to establish certain options that homeowners are willing to buy into. Tax credits, tax rebates, abatements, stuff like that, where the program right now is if the city removes your lead line, the homeowner has to contribute about $1,800 to remove what they call
on their end.
Right. Well, we're saying no. Why don't you just remove the whole line? And that $1,800, you're asking the homeowner to invest in the remove the lead line. Why don't you ask that homeowner to use that $1,800 to remove the internal lead plumbing? And if there's more that they got to spend, offer them some kind of tax incentive or a rebate or something.
So, Robert, this is kind of new because over the years, you and I had these conversations, and Madison was held up
as the
example right. of a city that did all the right things and removed right. this, and now I'm hearing you say, They didn't completely eradicate
right.
the issue.
And the reason why is because back then, when they did all this, there wasn't a study to follow up on what happened after they did it. Just recently, a study was published, believe it was 2021. I'll forward that to you. But there was a study and research done on the aftermath of what happened in Madison, and they found that there were still levels of lead in the water that were still high enough to cause concern. And the research found that the reason why there's still lead in the water is because they didn't deal with the internal plumbing of the houses.
And if you've ever owned a house and had to have some plumbing done, it is quite expensive.
It is expensive.
I got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. My guess is Robert Miranda from Flat. We'll be right back. Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, it's so good to have my good friend Robert Miranda from Flat in the studio as we talk about what impacts and affects all of us from across the state. Many of you in different parts of the state may not be aware of it, but you are experiencing the exact same thing that we are experiencing in the city of Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, Madison, because you're faced with the same reality.
Exactly.
And so if it to me, to be worried about all the other things that can hurt you and harm you and kill you,
the least you should be worried about is your water.
The least you should be worried about is your water. And then once you find out it's a worry, we all should be like, hey, man.
We got to fix this.
Our bodies are made of 60% water.
Over 90%.
Water. So I'm not, listen, maybe don't build that next aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, we got to know.
We got 11 of them already.
Yeah. Let's use that money, man, to make sure the water is safe, right?
Exactly.
Maybe don't send the rocket around the moon.
Yep.
Maybe that can wait, right?
We can wait for a moon landing.
I don't get it, man. Hey, man, I don't get it. It's really not funny.
It really is because just, you know, you think about all of the things that our country needs infrastructurally to repair, I mean, from bridges to ports to roads to water infrastructures, things like, you know, and it's like, do we really need to send someone back to the moon to pick up another rock?
Man.
I mean, it's like, really?
Yeah, let's take care of making sure the people's waters is okay,
you know,
first.
Because you need a workforce to build that spacecraft, right?
Right.
And if you got people who are health-wise damaged because the water is harming their health, how are you going to build it?
So Robert, I'd like to use this platform, man, to bring information to the listening audience, no matter where they are. And that's why I wanted to begin with you. We backtrack from where we usually are because we've been at this for a long time. But let's talk about, you know, some changes that you are seeing. Is there on the national level? Clearly, on a national level, you've reached the president of the White House and the president of the United States because he was just here talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about cities across the nation. He wasn't just talking about Milwaukee. He put money.
He's putting money into the whole thing. Yes,
right.
Yes. The changes that I've seen over the last 7 to 8 years is, you know, about eight years ago, you hardly had any discussion going on about this. And you even didn't have any concern about this from the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA. We fast forward today. I mean, the discussion about this matter is all over the country. The EPA is working diligently and hard to establish guidelines and policies that go to the heart of removing this whole toxin from our water system. They're looking at changing the what they call the lead copper rule, the LCR, that's under the Safe Water Act. So, you know, there is a lot of policy and regulation and guidelines that are being looked at and pushed and hopefully implemented real soon. Locally, we still have to deal with the fact that we have a city government that is still, in my opinion,
hesitating,
but also pushing a mantra, a narrative that's misinforming the public.
Lead paint.
Exactly. And so that's one of the that's when we had this meeting with the Common Council president and the water superintendent and the health department environmental director and mayor's chief of staff. My emphasis to them was stop misinforming the community about this lead paint soil dust thing. Because they don't have the data to support that. The data that they're working with is
sufficient. So what is that misinformation?
The data that they're missing is the data that will show where water plays a role in the lead poisoning of this community. To just basically say that we follow national trends is not really reflecting what is really happening.
National trends meaning leaded paint.
Right. National trends meaning leaded paint. In Milwaukee, we do not have sufficient enough data to say that for sure the primary cause of lead paint, lead poisoning is lead paint soil and dust. Because, as was also stated in an internal audit by the Public Health Foundation back in March of 2020, they even acknowledge we as a city do not have sufficient data to support, you know, any claims that one source is the primary source. We don't know for sure. What we can say is, yes, lead paint, soil, and dust does contribute to lead poisoning and water. But we are out here saying it's the primary cause. And what's happening is when you say it's the primary cause, it confuses people. It muddies the waters, so to say. No pun intended. It messes up the idea that people should be paying attention to the water, because once you start saying it's the primary cause, people say, well, if it's the primary cause, I ain't got to worry about the water.
So if I'm the city or the government, and we've already, this has been going on for the last 50 years about leaded paint.
Mm-hmm.
Issues, then we're suing the leaded paint industry.
Right.
And if we can point the finger at them, that'll be the solution, because we can sue them and they'll
and
have
bring
to fix
money
it.
In to deal with
right.
this, right?
Right.
And so, you know, over the years, that played a role in not gathering the data. You know, these past few weeks, I've been engaging in emails between me and the health department and the city officials trying to obtain what they call the environmental risk assessment reports. And these are reports that assessors fill in when there is a home that has been found to have high lead blood lead levels. And the city sends these assessors to the house to inspect the house to see where that lead is coming from. Up until about 2016, they were using a certain form, and that form, five different pages, that form only mentioned maybe for the assessor to look at the water maybe two or three times.
So let's do this, Robert. We've got to go to a break, right? We got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Listen, this is as timely a conversation that I think that I can have on these airways. Is that